why is it good for my law firm to have women on C-level? Is it just a fashion thing that we need to do it and it's everybody does it? And it's like all this ESG, environmentally friendly and sustainable, blah, 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 blah. Does it really matter? Yes, it does. I mean, like the protection of environment, it does matter.
Tervetuloa asianajajien pääkäsittelyssä podcastin pariin. Welcome to the main hearing. Today's guest is the wonderful president of the Estonian Bar Association, Imbi Jürgen, elected to this position in 2022. She has been a member of the Estonian Bar Association since 1997 and a board member of the bar since 2016. In this episode, we're talking about women in law firms and about the new generation, but especially of the significance of having more women in leadership positions, a topic we both feel passionate about. During the last several years, more women than men have been graduating from law schools in Finland, Estonia, and many other countries. Yet only one-fifth of the women seem to make equity partners. Law firms everywhere say they are looking to improve diversity and their work-life balance, but there is still a long way to go. My name is Katja Holmén, and this is Main Hearing. I'm happy you're listening. Welcome to this podcast, Imbi. It is so good to see you.
Well, welcome to Tallinn.
Well, thank you for having me. Last time we met, we were on Mannheimer cruise in Aiba, Miami, and it was serendipity, really. We bumped into each other and we started talking and we talked and talked and talked. And by the end of the cruise, we had decided that we need to do a podcast episode together. And here we are today in Tallinn to do just that. But on the night we met, you told me about this quite amazing initiative of yours. You have produced an interview series of 30 Estonian women attorneys to speak about their careers and the importance of female leaders in law firms. And I thought it was such a great idea. So let's tell everyone about this interview series. Tell us all. Why did you do it and what made you start it?
Yes, this idea came to me in 2020, actually. We had a survey among the members of the Estonian Bar Association, and we wanted to know if in Estonian law firms there are such problems as discrimination, harassment, work stress, and if there was such a thing like glass ceiling for women. So we had this survey, and the results were very good, very nice. It showed us a very beautiful picture. Everybody believed that we have no problem with gender equality. Everybody has equal possibilities to become a partner in a law firm. There is no discrimination against women. So the picture was very good. But in my head, I compared this results of the survey with the reality when I look at the partners lists of big law firms, then I don't see that there is equality. There's majorities men. So what is wrong here? So there is something behind this that we don't see, which is not something that's not obvious. I felt like I need to go deeper into it. And I did some research and I published an article and I did statistics. It has not been done before. And I took the top law firms in Estonia, top 15. Why I chose the top? Because the money is there. And the power is where the money is.
Of course.
I wanted to see how many women are actually involved in the management and in the ownership of these bigger law firms. And it appeared that about 25% of the partners and management board members of these bigger law firms were women, whereas among the employees, it's about 50-50. And what is even more interesting, there were about 25% women partners But partnership isn't always equal. In some law firms, the partnership in equity is equal. But there are others where women may be partners, but their shares are smaller. So they don't share the big money. So the percentage of ownership or shareholding was about 20%. So it was even smaller. So that was a very, very interesting and intriguing thing. And I wrote about it.
What was the reaction?
There was so much feedback. Whenever I went after this article to meet other attorneys, wherever I went, to everybody wanted to talk to me about this. You wrote about this. Oh, yes, it's so interesting. And great that you brought this subject up. And I understood that people do care about this subject. And then we came up with this idea that let's start this interview series, because we actually do have some wonderful, strong, successful women. And you know what they say is one way to bring more women into managing positions is to show examples.
Right, role models.
Yeah, role models, it's very, very important. And so we have these role models, but we have to introduce them, make them more visible.
Make them more relatable. Like people, yes, exactly. All minorities always need to see someone like, this could be me. I could talk to her or him. Yes. Tell me more.
Yeah. And then I reached out to these women. I took the same top 15 law firms,
right,
which I included in my little research. And I contacted them personally, one by one, asking if they would like to join this project. And surprisingly, there were so many who were very positive about it. So it became a reality.
So it did. And I think it's quite amazing. It's not only one or five or 12, but it's 30 interviews. So hats off. But hey, what were your aims in launching this interview series?
I think I had realistic aims. I didn't think it was possible to bring gender equality just as a result of such a small interview series. But we have definitely made steps in the right direction. Well, I had several aims with this interview series. And one, as I said, was to make these women more visible, to introduce them. So get to know your colleague, see who the players in this field are. Of course, many of them are visible anyhow. They're very well known. They're top lawyers. They're in very high rankings in all kinds of catalogs and so on and so forth. But it has shown them from a different angle, you know, more human, more personal. So definitely we have been able to show these good examples to everybody. It has been interesting for men too, of course. And I have got a lot of positive feedback saying that I love to read these interviews to my morning coffee, and you know, they're so good, keep on going. And it has been quite popular. So I'm really happy about that.
I was just thinking that when a significant change is needed, we know from our personal lives that there needs to be either a crisis or a very alluring reason, a strong why that is worth the pain of undergoing the process the change requires. So I think we should talk about the why in relation to having women in the corner offices and law firms. You asked the same question from the leading women lawyers in your interview series, and I thought that it would be a good idea to make you answer the same question. Why is it essential to have women as partners and leaders in law firms?
This is a tricky question.
Agree.
but yet I think it is very important to ask, why is it good for a law firm to have more women among the partners and in the management? Does a successful law firm need women in management? We have seen extremely successful law firms where women are in minority in management level, and they have made wonderful profits and prospered without women in C-level. So why is it essential? In Estonia, we can't say that it's clients' demand to have diverse teams. At least here in Estonia, not yet. There are only a few clients, worldwide corporations maybe, asking for diverse teams. And it's actually not the most important factor for choosing a law firm. Also, it's my experience that the Estonian, average Estonian client, a business client, at least in Estonia, usually doesn't care about the gender of the lawyer. They care about the expertise.
Right.
But where I can see it is important for a law firm to have women in management is the working environment for the development of the law firm itself, because the employees in law firm, there are so many women. In average, it's also 50-50 in Estonia. 50% of Estonian lawyers are women in our bar association. And in many law firms, there are actually more women among the juniors and senior associates. So I think for these women employees, it is important that among the decision makers, there are women also, so that the female voice is represented better. You see, there is this really, really big fight for talent. And maybe if young people make their choices, maybe they prefer such more diverse law firms.
Right.
I think that's why it is important for our law firms too. And I think the client demand, it will come. It will come at least first for the corporate clients.
Exactly.
Especially those who have to report an ESG matters. But it will take time. It will take time. But right now, I think it is important from the perspective of working environment. If you want to have great talent, then you need to look diverse, and you really need to have women in leadership positions too.
Personally, I agree, but I Google translated all the interviews in your interview series, and if I'm not mistaken, only one of the responders replied that yes, it is absolutely essential to have more women in partnership and leadership positions, while the others said that yes, it is very good and important to have women attorneys as partners and other leaders, but it is not so essential that law firms should seek to fix the current underrepresentation with any kind of positive discrimination. And, you know, I'm always a bit disappointed when the only acceptable and functioning tools for this systemic imbalance are argued to be, well, coaching and mentoring of young women. And the potentially big discussion of quotas ends before it begins by saying that, well, didn't you read the memo on why they don't work in partnerships, not in law firms, not yet, when the pool of talent is still too narrow? Why quotas would actually hurt the women themselves. I'm pretty sure I've heard all the downsides, and it's just that sometimes I wish we would discuss the upsides, which I'm sure there are some. So, Imbi, now I'm asking you, how do you feel about quotas?
Yes, that is a very interesting question, and now it is brought up actually in Estonia too, in another context, not in the context of law firms, because we do not have any law firms noted in stock exchange, but there is a European Union directive has come out setting quotas to public companies. Also in Estonia, this directive has to be implemented. And for the first time, maybe in history, in Estonia, we need to set some kind of quotas for women. And the public opinion, and also it reflected, as you said, in these interviews, is in Estonia, at least, it's against the quotas. We want more women, but please no quotas whatsoever. And I understood from the answers of the women that they like feel that in no case, they never want to be chosen to a higher position just because they are women. They want to be chosen because of their qualities and their hard work. But I personally think that the quotas may be helpful. For example, in a situation where we have two candidates for a position, a male and a female candidate, and they both have good qualifications and they have experience and they have good personal qualities, they could become leaders both. And one is woman, one is man. And in this kind of situation, to choose a woman and say it out loud, we want you because you're a woman, because we need women. And if in this situation where the candidates are actually equal, woman is chosen just because of her gender, I think in this situation, the woman should proudly do accept this position and be there as a role model for the next women who will come after you.
Yes.
And in the next time, it's not so maybe extraordinary anymore to choose a woman. And it, I think the quotas would also help at least to think about women candidates. Is it really true that we do not have any qualified women for this position? Maybe we do have, we haven't noticed.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe there is this one woman who could be very, very fit for this position. We just haven't noticed what qualities she has, or maybe she lacks self-confidence or... But at least we become thinking about this. We want to promote women, and what maybe at this moment we do not have women candidates, but what can we do about it? Maybe we can give them some tools to develop their skills so that they will grow gradually. So I think that the quotas are not so bad, and a positive plan for how we promote women that should be in place. And I think that this, at least in bigger law firms, I think they should also have, at least think about what we can do to promote our women. What kind of, maybe they need some kind of a kick, or even maybe they need someone to put an idea in their head that they can be the leaders in the future. So yeah, I think the quotas are not that bad.
Let's talk about the generational tensions between baby boomers and millennials, not only women, but regarding men as well. As we discussed in Miami, the majority of today's law firm partners, they began their careers in a very different world from today. It was a world where no one expected low hierarchy or team-based culture or healthy work-life balance, or gender balance for that matter. There was this ever-present mindset, even in recruiting, that you should be lucky to have this amazing job. Whereas today, all law firms, well, they practically need to sell themselves to the young talents who have a plethora of excellent opportunities. All I'm saying is that it's a tall order to be a modern leader today, especially after the pandemic, which made hybrid work the new normal. So my question is, how is it in Estonia? How is it managing the millennials? Is it an issue keeping them motivated and happy?
It definitely is an issue. It is very difficult, I think, to manage a law firm. You want to offer younger people more flexibility, more free time, because they do not want to work as we did in 1996, but the clients want everything done quickly and with a super good quality.
Yes.
So what's the solution there? I do not know. What I've heard from the partners, the result is that I have to do it. If everyone runs off, then who does the job? Okay, I don't sleep, I do it myself. I do it all night, but somebody has to do it. What I definitely feel that young people, they do not care about material things that much. Like, I need this money to buy me a new car or a new house. Maybe they want to see the world more. They want to travel around, but they want to do meaningful job. This is really for certain. But I would say that my experience with my own colleagues is that they do work quite a lot. And it's not like they're at 5 o'clock, they say, no, my pencil falls and I'm off. I'm not doing that. So I don't know where the truth is or what the answer is. But yes, definitely, it has become more difficult to manage the law firms. And I think this is the new reality. You just somehow have to face it.
What do you know about how do the young lawyers in Estonia, how do they feel about law firm life? Is it an attractive career option for them?
What I now, in the position of the president of the bar, I have maybe a wider picture on this. And I see that many young people are actually attracted to working in public sector and maybe even working in prosecutor's office. You see, we have this one program that the Minister of Justice initiated for young people. It's a scholarship program. It's an internship program for young people who are interested in criminal law. So they have internship in a law firm, in a court, and in the prosecutor's office so that they can see all three sides of the story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, well, we are in Estonia, we're desperately short of criminal lawyers. This project was actually successful. It was piloted just last year.
Oh, okay.
It was the first pilot. And I think it was a wonderful idea. And the Bar Association, of course, jumped in. So we also want to participate because we need criminal lawyers too. And in the end, okay, the person, maybe they choose another career path, but the criminal justice system in itself needs good specialists.
Right.
And now I met these young people. And one question that was asked in the beginning of the program was, which career path would you follow if you take criminal law? And nobody said, I want to be an attorney. There was just one guy who said, oh, yeah, I think maybe being a criminal attorney would be a good way. But there was a whole bunch of them saying, I want to be a prosecutor because they do such wonderful job for the society. It's meaningful. And what they also said, I think it's actually, in reality, it's not easy in the prosecutor's office, but somehow they had this imagination that working in state sector, in public sector, the demand of working hours is not that high. And they said, there is no way I want to become an attorney. And I said, why? Why is that? It's a wonderful job. No way, these working hours, I'm not going to do that. And that's why I want to become a prosecutor. I said, I was thinking in my head, and you should see these working shifts the prosecutors do and the night shifts.
Yes.
And it's not easier, but somehow they have this imagination that attorneys' work is actually just late hours, late hours, late hours. And we have this image. And
yeah,
I think we have to fight it because in reality, it's not that bad at all. But in Estonia, of course, last couple of years have been quite crazy. We have seen so many young lawyers who are already members of the bar. They have worked maybe 3, 4, 5 years. They have already gained experience. They're quite good at what they do. And often it is that it's their clients,
yes,
who ask them, please come,
yes,
work as an in-house
we
for
have
us.
The same.
And we have this huge trend for this. And this year, 2023, it's very interesting to see if there is going to be a change.
Do you know if the law firms have tried to respond somehow to this trend? Do you know if there's been like some kind of salary increase, fight back?
Well, some say it's like force majeure. You can't fight it. Whatever you offer. Of course, law firms really, really want to keep their talents. And I think they offer very good conditions. And we have seen salary raise also. And there are all kinds of, you know, fun things also. Well, like ski trips or town trips or long weekends, maybe in a town in Europe, what all the law firms do, wonderful things that you can do. But it's actually, yeah, people say it's force majeure. If they want to leave, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help it. What on the level of the Bar Association, we have been thinking, can we do something about it? Can we be more flexible?
Mm.
Because what the law says right now is that if you are a member of the bar working as a lawyer in a law firm, then you cannot, you must not work at the same time in another position. You cannot work at the same time as an in-house lawyer. You can only work in the university or in a school as a teacher or a professor. That's the only thing that's allowed. But now we are very, very seriously considering maybe proposing amendments to the Estonian law on bar, that maybe it should be permitted to work as an in-house lawyer or have another job at the same time when you are member of the bar, an active member of the bar, so that you can part-time work, let's say, in a tech company or a startup maybe, as a lawyer, in-house lawyer. And then at the same time, maybe a few days a week, you go to the law firm and you provide legal advice to the clients of the law firm so that you don't lose contact with the law firm. But at the same time, you can do what interests you. And maybe it even may bring success because you get different experience from this mm-hmm. other working place.
Expertise,
right. So maybe this works. And we're seriously working on this amendment proposal. There are, of course, many voices against it. And there are, of course, many things to be concerned about it. How you keep confidential information, how you avoid conflict of interest, right. et cetera. How do you protect your independence of a lawyer, which is a core principle of our profession. But we need to somehow respond to these changes in the society. And I think we really have to discuss it very, very seriously. And I personally believe that maybe there is more positive about such shift or such change than negative. So I think we should give some more flexibility to our profession.
That's super interesting. We will all stay tuned and see how you will proceed in that. But back to what you said about the people who are suspending their memberships. There was this survey conducted by the Finnish Bar Association 2 or 3 years ago, where 25% of women in Finnish law firms said that they are considering career change. And we know that especially between 30 to 40 years of age, women are exiting law firms in much too high numbers. So now I'm thinking, if you have the data, whether it's mostly women who are suspending their memberships in Estonia or both men and women.
Actually, yes, most of those who suspend their membership, these are women, but there are many reasons to suspend your membership. And I would say that leaving for the tech companies or banks or whatever startups we have here, these are both young men and women. If I'm thinking about the names and I know the people, then it's not just women.
Okay. But now it's time for my last question, and I want you to use your imagination and visualize yourself teaching a class full of young women lawyers. who want to become attorneys in law firms. So what would you teach them? What would you tell them is the secret sauce to a successful long-term career as an attorney and to be happy with the choices one makes?
There are so many things, very many things, but just one thing that I would really like to point out, what came also out from the interviews, because I asked these wise and successful women, what would you recommend to your younger colleagues, how to advance their careers? And several of them said, and I couldn't agree more, you have to concentrate on what you love to do. Choose what you like, what you're passionate about, and that will bring you success. So don't concentrate on money. Don't think that I have to do M&A because the big money is there, but I don't even like it, but I have to do it. If you don't like it, you won't be successful in it. If you really love this, maybe it's a niche thing. Maybe it is a very specific area of competition law. Maybe it is employment law. Maybe it is family law. But if you really love it, then go ahead and do this, and this will bring you success. This is what I have seen in my experience. I have seen many successful colleagues. And if you're a really good environmental lawyer, then you can make your money out of this. And you don't all have to be M&A lawyers. So if you're really good, then any sector of law can make you successful. And then the money will follow. So that's the one thing. If I have one thing to say, then I would say this. Although I would have so much to say to encourage the young women.
I'm sure your class would be super popular. Thank you, Imbi. This was lovely. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for coming to Tallinn. Thank you for really doing this with me. So it was not just, oh, we should catch up and we should do this, but we really did this.
Really did this.
This is great.